Here we are with Rob Childress, getting ready for the first official week of practice, and then, you know, in just 3 weeks, you'll be playing baseball out here at Olson Field. I know that a lot of focus on being high in the rankings, but you've had two clubs that you wanted to take to Omaha the last 2 years, and it's not going to be any different. People say you're going to have a bullseye on your back. You put as much pressure on your coaches and your players as anybody's going to see out on the field.
That's what we want. I mean, we want the bullseye on our back, and we want every team's best when we play them. And, you know, I would think any team in the country would want that and embrace that, and our players definitely do and understand where there's a lot of hard work that we've got to put forth the next 3 weeks and continuing to get into baseball shape and getting ready to play. And, you know, for the last couple of weeks, it's been nice to physically get us in as good a shape as we can be in, and, you know, have an opportunity to go through skill instruction a couple times a week and get a little bit in baseball shape. But our players have worked very hard. I mean, this was a 6-week break that they were gone between semesters, but, you know, I would say we had over half the team back right after Christmas working out on their own. And so you could tell once we got rolling with, you know, conditioning and lifting and, you know, our skill instruction that they were in pretty good shape already. So we're looking forward to Sunday. Hopefully the weather will cooperate with us and we can have a great first practice and continue that over the next 3 weeks getting ready for Wright State.
The commitment that the players made, any different than you had the previous couple years, or is it just that the upperclassmen bringing along the newcomers that you've seen that continually grow to the point where you know that the players, what they know what you expect, and you know the kind of effort you're going to get when you're not around them?
Well, there's been a lot of investment in this program from the coaching staff all the way down through our managers, including our players. And, you know, there's a lot of ownership, and, you know, our guys understand what's in front of them, what they want to accomplish, and what our goals are. And they're first and foremost to win 45 games and be at the top of the Big 12 and finish the season strong. We haven't done all three of those things yet, and a given season and earned the opportunity to be a top 8 seed. And, you know, we've got to back it up and try to go out and get better today during our skill instruction period today. And, you know, we treat each day like it's a championship type day, whether it's a practice on Sunday or, you know, 2 weeks from now. We've got to continue to stay highly motivated, and I don't expect anything less out of this team.
I know this is the first, you know, spring where you're limited in your numbers a little bit. You're down to 33 players on the roster. How is that going to be different? How do you have to approach it differently when you know you don't have 40 guys and, you know, you don't have 20 guys battling for three spots, but you may have a higher level of talent, you know, battling for the final spots on a weekend roster?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have as big a roster couple of years, but I can tell you the competition at certain positions is as hot as it ever has been. And, you know, in the fall there were a lot of battles that went on, but there were two teams competing against one another, so they weren't really worried about beating out the guy at their position. They were worried about helping their team win. And the fall's a staging process. We had guys that had really good falls, some struggled a little bit, but, you know, the next 3 weeks is important for, you know, for what we see and how they perform and keeping guys healthy. And, you know, February 20th, it's one game. I mean, we've got an entire 56-game schedule to play, and, you know, the lineup we play on February 20th will be different in March, obviously. And, you know, we just got to make sure we get guys healthy and in baseball shape ready to go for that first game. But, you know, it's a long season, and it's an ever-changing lineup. And guys have got to come out this spring and prove that they deserve to be in the lineup on February 20th. And just because they're not doesn't mean they're not going to be in there when we open up conference with Baylor.
I guess being the pitching coach yourself, talking to your guys around the country, they've got to think that you have one of the deepest pitching staffs in the land, and this might be the deepest pitching staff you've ever had personally.
Well, they've got to go out and prove it. I mean, they got to go out and compete on a daily basis, and everybody's got to take on a role and be great at it. And there's not everybody's going to be able to be in the starting rotation. We're going to have to have great long relievers, setup guys, and guys that can finish games. And, you know, on paper it looks good, but again, they haven't done anything yet, and there's some guys in there that are very talented that need to go find a role, and they need to go make us pitch them. And, you know, the next 3 weeks will be big, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes the next 3 weeks. And the key is just making sure they understand it's a marathon, not a sprint. They need to be ready to go for the season, not for the first weekend.
In the first nine games of the year, that's going to be in 10 days. I mean, that's going to test anybody's pitching staff. You know, you're going to have some guys start then that won't start for a while. What do you do as a starting rotation as you look at, you know, on paper right now?
To me, that's the great thing about the 13-week schedule. I mean, 56 games. Guys are going to get opportunities early for the first 4 or 5 weeks, and we may find out something about somebody that we didn't really know, and that was kind of the case last year. Some guys got the opportunity to start, did really well, guys got to pitch on a Tuesday or Wednesday that maybe wouldn't have gotten to pitch had we been playing a 16-week schedule and only playing 4 weeks. So I think it's good that we play so many games that early. I hope the weather cooperates with us and we get an opportunity to get everyone in. And, you know, even opening up with Wright State, we're going to play four nines. And we'll play on Saturday, the doubleheader will be two nine-inning games. And we need that. We need to see who can do what on the mound and get them out there. And, you know, 17 of 21 at home to start the season also is going to give us an opportunity to get in a comfort zone. And, you know, obviously going to Minute Maid that second week is going to be a strong challenge. It'll be as better than any regional we'll play in. And be a good test for us. We hope we go down there and do well, and I think it'll really help us. If we go down there and don't do very well, I think it'll give us some answers and can challenge us leading up to Baylor for the next couple of weeks.
I know that you had a challenge right off the bat last year. I mean, you split with Northern Colorado. A lot of people, you know, that put the how good is this team going to be? Wright State is a team that's battled UIC that you had in the regional here to go to the NCAA tournament the last couple of years. So, I mean, it's just not going to be a Northern team that shows up and, you know, is going to get the bats out for the first time when they come to Olson Field.
Without question. I mean, Rob Cooper does an incredible job there in the Horizon League, and you know, I've known him for a long time when he was an assistant at Oral Roberts, and he's done a fabulous job there, and that's one of the reasons we've got him coming down. I know they're going to be a well-coached, hard-nosed team that's going to get after it. And, you know, last year they lost a couple of high picks, hitters in the draft, and, you know, they're going to be ready to play. They're going to play hard with a chip on their shoulder. And if you look at their schedule and what they do early, each of the last two, 3 years, they go anywhere, play anybody on the road, and they play great teams, and they're not going to be intimidated coming to Olson Field. We'll get their best shot, and we need to be ready to go, and it's going to be a challenge, and I'm looking forward to getting them down here.
I know that you look at the schedule in whole. I mean, it's the lace full of top 25 and top 10 teams at home and on the road. Is this the kind of schedule that's going to prepare y'all week in and week out, you know, for whenever y'all play somebody, you know, the competition, whether it's a Centenary and they're going to throw their best guy against you, or Cal State Fullerton, another top 10 perennial, you know, Omaha team, you know that you're going to have your guys have to be hooked up and ready to go?
Yeah, they know that. I mean, you look at our schedule, 37 home games is great, 15 conference games on the road, 12 at home. That's going to be a tough challenge. Winning on the Big 12 at home, much less on the road, is hard in itself. But to have three more on the road than you have at home is going to be a challenge. But, you know, the opportunity for us to be at home every midweek game except for one throughout the season, I think, is important. I mean, we only travel once on a Tuesday night, and we actually do go to Rice. I mean, so getting these teams at home, great teams at home, it's going to be fun. But this is a good schedule, and it's one we need to do well in, and, you know, we need to take advantage of every time we get to take the field. And, you know, a week or two of bad weather, I mean, we're not going to get an opportunity to make up games. So when we're on the field, we need to make sure we're ready to go.
I know that you had some players come back from the opportunity to play professional baseball. You talk about it all the time, that if you can get, you know, high school and junior college kids to forego going to the pro ball and get some of your own players to come back, that gives you a big boost. But to get the quality and the level of, you know, four or five seniors to come back, Luke Anders, Kyle Colligan, Kyle Thibault, Travis Starling, Alex Wilson, when you get those guys to come back to school, what does that do for you?
Well, I think it says a lot about our program and the family environment that we create and the ownership that they truly have in our program. They know there's unfinished business here and they want another shot. They understand and are confident enough in their abilities that professional baseball is going to be there when they choose, not when the professional teams choose. And, you know, they wanted to come back and have another shot at playing for each other and for for themselves, and have an opportunity to do something here at Texas A&M before they make the choice of when they're going to move on in professional baseball. And, you know, this was a year as well. We were able to hold on to some signees that made a decision to come in, but the difference makers are truly going to be the ones that decided to come back, and the juniors and the seniors. And, you know, it says a lot about what we're doing here that they would choose to come back.
I know that there's a little bit of a tug of war that goes on with you and Matt Deggs and Jeremy Talbot about Brooks Raley. This is a guy that you know, does it in the field and also on the mound. How do you balance that? And have you had a player that was such a two-way guy that you've got to say, hey, I've got a Friday night guy that, you know, the other four games of the week can start in the outfield for me?
No, I mean, I've had a reliever that's been able to do that, and it was much easier to roll on him, and that he was a DH and, you know, a setup man, and so that was pretty easy. But, you know, with Brooks, he's such a competitor and he's such a great athlete that he needs to remember first and foremost that he's a pitcher outfielder, and, you know, we don't need him going 5-5 on the mound with 200 at-bats. We need him you know, being an incredible pitcher for us in the rotation and, you know, getting the opportunities to go out there and play positionally. He's different than most two-way guys. A lot of times you see a pitcher be a power hitter and, you know, he can DH, play first base. But Brooks is an athlete from the standpoint of what his tool is on as a position player is speed. I mean, he creates havoc on the bases and is a slasher as far as, you know, position player goes and at the plate. But, you know, he needs to remember he's a pitcher position player first, not a position player that pitches, and he understands that. And I expect him to have the opportunity to play a lot more positionally for us this year, you know, just because he's a year older and a year wiser and make a difference. He doesn't want to be one-day-a-week guy, and we don't need him to be that. We need him on the field as much as we can have him on the field.
You do have some holes in your lineup, but you have recruits that came in, junior college and high school, and then you have some players that were squadsmen last year battling for those. Is it you know, that level of competition? Are there going to be surprises on the first, you know, the lineup the first couple days on people are going to say, well, you know, he really hadn't played much, or, you know, that's a new guy that we really didn't see other than fall practice?
Well, there are definitely going to be some new faces. I mean, when you look at, you know, us losing the Big 12 Player of the Year and Jose Duran, Dane Carter, Blake Stouffer, Brian Ruggiano, and Darby Brown, those were, you know, they were in the lineup every day, and those guys are gone. We're not going to be able to write them in there. We do have good foundation back, and, you know, some guys that didn't get to play a lot last year but just continue to keep getting better is Nick Fleece and Caleb Schaffner, and we did sign some junior college hitters, and we felt like, you know, it was the time to do that because we were going to have that turnover. And they had really good falls. I mean, Dylan Petrich and Joe Patterson and Nick Anders and, you know, those guys along with Brett Parsons had good falls for us. And, you know, they are going to be factors. And, you know, we've got some high school kids that we'll be counting on too. I mean, Scott Arthur had a very good fall. He's a very competitive, good athlete. And, you know, Adam Smith is a guy that we need to take over. We need him to take that shortstop position and not look back. I mean, he's got all the talent tools in the world, and, you know, he needs to take that position. He's in a heated battle with it right now, but I expect, you know, him just to step up and take that position.
I know that a lot of coaches, you know, don't embrace going to the College World Series like you do. You set that up as a goal when you first got here. You were leaving Nebraska. You know, you left there from Omaha to come down here to be the coach. When you do embrace that, when you put that goal in front of the players, is this a group that sees that prize at the end and knows that it's something they can accomplish?
I think we've got a good enough nucleus back that understands once you get to that, you know, what you have to do to get in, put yourself in position to have a shot at getting to Omaha, and understand that we haven't done that each of the last 2 years. I mean, we've worked really hard and gotten really close to being in that position, but we haven't done enough to deserve a top eight seed. And, you know, if you can't talk about Omaha, or you're never going to get there. When you get to the point of it being real, when you get to a regional or into a super regional, it'll suffocate you. And, you know, it's not something we talk about every day, but it's something that needs to be talked about, and it needs to be embraced, because if it becomes a taboo word or something you can't talk about, when you do get into that position, you'll crumble. It'll suffocate you and overcome you. And, you know, it's something I think you need to talk about. It needs to be open. It needs to be understood that that's our ultimate goal, is to be not just get there, but to stay there and have a shot at being the last team standing. I mean, been there three times. I don't want to go just to go. If I don't want to go to Omaha this year and go on too, I'd rather not go. I want to go there and be the last team standing. Our players understand what it takes to have that opportunity. It's not just, you know, having an average year and getting to a regional, even though you can get hot and do it. I mean, obviously Fresno State proved that last year. Anybody can get it done. The year before, Oregon State did it. They sent them all the way to the East Coast. They caught a break and they got the opportunity to host a super regional and got to Omaha and won it all. But that is something we talk about and address quite a bit, and it is our ultimate goal.
I know that when you came in here, the first recruiting class, real true recruiting class you had here, you knew it was a special class. It was a lot like that first class that you had at Nebraska that won a lot of games and did go to Omaha. Can this class, now that you're up there, seniors, is it the same kind of thing? Do you have a Shane Comine, you know, when you look at a Kyle Coggan, Luke Anders, Kyle Thibault, one of those guys that's going to say, it's our time, and, you know, losing in Super Regionals 2 years in a row is not going to cut it this year?
I sure hope so. I felt that way throughout the fall, just in the leadership that each team received from those older guys. And, you know, we've got to go play the season. It's just like the preseason polls. I mean, all they're going off of is who's coming back, what was your recruiting class look like? It's all on paper. It's this team hasn't gone and played one single game yet together as one, and that's what we're looking forward to is actually going out and playing the season and handling the ups and downs of that every team's going to go through. And I mean, because we'll have a downturn, we're going to have a rough spot in there that, you know, ultimately how we respond to that will determine how we finish. And you know, much like last year's team, our tough spot didn't come until the last eight games of the year, but that team responded and, you know, finished the season strong. And again, you know, I said it before, that was the toughest team I've ever coached. I mean, for them to respond the way they did after the tough stretch we had to finish the year says a lot about who they were.
All right, that's A&M head coach Rob Childress. Practice starts tomorrow, Sunday, and you can come out every day during the fall. I know it. You like to see the fans in the stands there. You know, even if it's just practice, it's great to have the Aggie fans out there supporting you.
It really is. I mean, we love to have we have an open gate. Come out and watch practice, and you know, we'll be out there every day, and hopefully the sun's shining. We have a great 3 weeks of weather leading up to the opener on February 20th.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.